All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, August 31st, 2017. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like informational security, pointing out just how rigged the game is, and trying to make sure that I haven't actually fallen through a dimensional rift into a parallel universe. Pretty sure the sky is not supposed to be pink. Just saying. I'm Morps, and tonight, I'm Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Guinness Blonde.
I've got a glass of Buffalo Trace, so not actually certain if I like this one or not. I know I like it better on ice, which I think means just I don't like it, but
I like that. I think I like it better on ice, which may mean I don't like it.
So
I've tried that oat whiskey I bought straight, and I don't think I have a preference with it one way or the other.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Well, you know, I picked up a bottle of Bullet Rye, and turned out I really liked that. So I'm going to have to get another bottle of that.
Oh, and Knob Creek also does a rye whiskey.
Oh, do they? I'll have to try it. So, anyways, today on alcoholism, high-functioning alcoholism, oh wait, no, we did that show. We did do a drinking show. Yeah, we had a lot more people participating in the station back then. That's something I've been thinking about. It's like the crowd's been dwindling for a while. Still got some listeners, sure, but I don't know. I mean, either we're gonna have to go out on a recruiting drive, or like Big hasn't been around for, I mean, I haven't seen him this year, I don't think.
Oh, it's been several months.
You know, and of course we talked about, I did actually hear from Lore. He is alive. He confirmed he's alive, or at least somebody using his screen name is alive. Apparently he's taken a job that requires him to live at odd hours from everybody else, and possibly in another dimension, not certain. I mean, a whole bunch of the old crew, we just haven't seen forever. Hugo, Zentax hopped on the other day, of course, and he did a show with us, so, you know, I haven't seen RU in a while either, so I'm just like,
well,
I don't know.
RU's having infrastructure issues.
That's true. It's kind of like, are we running people off, or is it just, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, but figure something out, because either the figuring it out might mean just shutting the station down. I don't know. It's like, well, nobody wants to do it anymore. Everybody got tired of listening to me yell at the internet, so now what, right? But anyway, since I don't think everybody's quite tired of listening to me yell at the internet yet, so let's go on to the lead story, because this is interesting. 465,000 patients were told to visit a doctor to install a patch for their pacemakers.
I'm kind of glad they were told to go to a doctor rather than go to your nearest Wi-Fi terminal. We'll fix this for you.
Yeah. But no, it's not a Wi-Fi terminal. It's go to your doctor because you need to be put on another, you know, form of controlling your heart while we update your software. Because technically, if you have a pacemaker, you're a cyborg, right? So, I mean, but yeah, an estimated 465,000 people in the U.S. are getting notices that they should update the firmware that runs their life-sustaining pacemakers, or risk falling victim to potentially fatal hacks. Cardiac pacemakers are small devices implanted in patients' upper chest to correct abnormal or irregular heart rhythms. Pacemakers are generally outfitted with small radio frequency equipment so the devices can be maintained remotely. That way, new surgeries aren't required after they're implanted. Like many wireless devices, pacemakers from Abbott Laboratories contain critical flaws that allow hijackers within radio range to seize control while the pacemakers are running. If there were a successful attack, an unauthorized individual could gain access and issue commands to the implanted medical device through radio frequency transmission capability, and those unauthorized commands could modify device settings, i.e. stop pacing, or impact device functionality. Albert representatives wrote an open letter to doctors. Having it stop would be one thing, but what if you just like had it start ramping up the speed?
You could give somebody a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean... And if they already have a pacemaker, would anybody even... I mean, I'm just... You know, that'd be a stealthy way to kill somebody if you knew they had a pacemaker. Just get a long-range radio, right? Yeah, if there was... representatives wrote in an open letter to doctors. The update will require patients to visit a clinic where doctors will put the pacemaker in backup mode while the firmware is being patched. The open letter said that for certain patients, the update should be performed in a facility where temporary pacing and pacemaker generating charge are readily available due to the very small estimated risk of firmware update malfunction. In case the patch doesn't work, make sure your doctor is nearby with the paddles. Fuck! An advisory issued by the Food and Drug Administration said 465,000 pacemakers in the U.S. alone are affected. The number of pacemakers in other countries wasn't immediately available. That's a lot of pacemakers, actually. So, yeah, the button is really... Psychosis is saying the doctor might mess up the 30-30-30 reset. The button is small. Wait, that's why you have to use a pin to push it in, right? It's like your Wi-Fi router. update, blah, 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 blah. I already read that. Reports of potential life-threatening vulnerabilities in electronic pacemakers, insulin pumps, and other medical devices have steadily increased over the past decade. Many patients, doctors, and security experts downplay the threats... such weaknesses pose, in large part because attackers must be within 50 feet of a patient. Well, that's just assuming they haven't beefed up their antenna. People downplaying the risk also say attackers have little motivation to expend so much work, short of sensational plotlines purported in the Okay, so yeah, killing somebody by hacking their equipment. Other security experts, however, point to the growing scourge of ransomware, which threatens victims with, oh damn, ransomware on your pacemaker! Pay us 500, but you pay us you pay us 3 Bitcoin or we stop your heart. Fuck.
Pay us 3 Bitcoin or we won't unlock your data. It's not data. It's my fucking heart, you bastard.
But well, fine, pay us 3 Bitcoin or you die. I mean they do it. You know, we had that clip somewhere of the guy from Nigeria. That was playing It's Only Money That I Want, that we played at the beginning of one of the ITZY shows. So, never pay ransomware, rely on backups. Unless your heart stops! Yeah.
Oh, that's when you have a couple backups. They're called children. They should be compatible donors, right?
Yeah. So, they've got some security experts saying the threat is real. Pretty much, apparently, they can brute force the password on these things, and that's what they're trying to patch. Apparently, it's fairly easy to do so. So, yeah.
Well, password ABC1.
The article is also suggesting that perhaps short the stocks of the companies that make the pacemakers in the hospitals. should you really be tying critical malware vulnerabilities to stock shorting strategies? The answer is probably yes, truth be told. Because, so, you know, if you're dealing in stocks, you're probably already an amoral person, just saying. So,
oh, you know. Damn. Bitcoin's gone up. 3 Bitcoin is $13,500.
I think he's low. When I looked at EOBOT earlier today, a Bitcoin was $4,300-some-odd a piece.
Got to think that's also your life, so I guess, you know, I'd pay $13,000 to stay alive.
Y'all take an installment plan?
I'll max out a credit card. Fuck that shit. I want these people out of my life.
That's true. That's true.
Ooh. And you can do this with a medical credit card. Those things are interest-free.
Oh, well, there you go.
And that way I'm only getting fucked by one person instead of two. So do they have to do another open heart, or is it pretty much sit here I'm going to make sure you don't twitch over and die while we update the firmware.
It's sit here, I'm going to make sure you don't die while we update the firmware. But it's possible that apparently the firmware update might not work. The fact that they're even acknowledging that means it's happened once in the lab. So, there's that.
How do they test whether it took? We're going to try to hack your pacemaker. Don't move.
Oh, that's
easy.
Don't
worry. We found Bob. He's kind of moral.
Oh, that's easy. You just take one that's not installed in somebody who has the old, you just take one that's the old one and just look and see whether or not it's,
Oh, does this file match the file before we patched?
Yeah. You just run the update and see what happens. Oh, or, you know, even better, they're in a lab, they probably got to sit there pacing and hooked up to a multimeter so that you can see the voltage spike every, you know, couple of minutes. Or however often it needs to pulse to keep the heart going at the right rate. And you just watch the little, you know, meter on there, and it's like you do the firmware update and it stops pulsing. Oh, that's not good. So
try not to get excited. Something bad happened.
Well, yeah, this is when you get. Of course, if you have a pacemaker, you're probably really good at reading your doctor's expressions. It's like, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. Grab this live wire. You're gonna be fine. It's like, why do you keep saying that? But we're gonna need to get you into surgery, like, you know, right now.
Don't worry, I haven't had anyone die on me this weekend.
So, I guess the more interesting point about this, though, is this, you know, jokes aside, this is going to become more common. You know, pacemakers already have RFID, or not RFID, but they've got an RF in them. They got a little radio in them, as well as insulin pumps, the implantable insulin pumps. You know, real medical devices basically have Wi-Fi. I mean, it's not Wi-Fi, but, you know, basically. You know, when you get into the full-on ghost in the shell, like the prosthetic arms and shit, you know, having to go in for maintenance patches, it's like when you get the recalls on your car, right? Or, you know, you take your car in to get work on. Oh, we've had 6 recalls on this. Hang on, we got to fix all that, too. It's just, son of a bitch. So, you know, what happens when you start getting into the brain implants and, oh, we got to put out an update? Or worse, you know, we've decided to, you know, it'd be like the DJI drones. Well, if you don't update, your drone won't fly. If you don't install the brain update, we're going to have to alter your brand preferences. I mean, it's just, I'm just thinking a little bit farther down the line. I mean, yeah, Ghost in the Shell, they were just flat out connected to the internet through the prosthetics, but I mean, that's a very real thing. You have shit like ransomware and people getting into things, or even worse, people who don't understand what they're hooking up to the internet. So, I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going with this, because I don't have the answer either, other than, you know, some devices probably should be air-gapped.
An on-off switch for the wireless function. I'm not sure how well that would work.
You just have a little switch sticking out of your chest. Or how about, you know, here's a thing. You know, they said you have to be within 50 feet. Why don't you make the radio a little bit weaker so that you have to be within, like, 2 feet, like an RFID? Because you're going to notice somebody sitting there with the laptop pointing the antenna at your chest. Probably. I guess it could be behind you. But, you know, I don't know why you need the range of a small subway car, you know, or, you know, I mean, think like a sporting event or something. Somebody with the right kind of radio could just blast out the signal, the shutdown signal, see how many people go, you know, grab their chest and fall over because they think it's funny. So, or, you know, the insulin pump just flood the insulin in your body, kill you. And I think we're going to see this on more and more medical devices, especially as they come up with more implantable ones. Like the, I was joking about the brain implant, but there really is a brain implant, which is the electrical wire that they use for, is it Parkinson's? No.
They use a couple. There's the cochlear implant for deaf people.
Hearing, yeah.
That interacts with your brain. There's one they have for certain seizures, because
I think some seizures are similar to
pacemaker issues, where the pacemaker isn't keeping your heart pumping. It's just every so often your heart pumps irregularly, so it just gives it a quick jolt to get it back into, sinus rhythm?
Yeah.
And then there's some seizures where your brain just starts acting weird, and if it gets the right zap to the right section, you stop twitching.
Well, I think it's one of the seizure ones I'm thinking. There's actually a YouTube video where the guy, just to demonstrate how much it helped him, he turned it off because he's got a battery he uses, and it just keeps an electrical current going to his brain. And he was shaking so bad, and you could see his hands gripping this thing so bad, he almost couldn't get it turned back on. So I forget exactly what it was that helped him with, but I think I don't think it was seizures. I think it was a shaking thing, which is why I was thinking maybe Parkinson's or ALS. It might have been ALS. But, I mean, in all seriousness, if that's got some kind of RFID chip in it and somebody can get into that and hold it hostage because you connected it to the internet, I mean, that's a bad day. And as we come up with more and more implantables and we start getting into more and deeper prosthetics, I mean, besides the badass points of having an Ethernet jack sticking out somewhere, I mean, I guess as long as it's not somewhere inconvenient, like, nobody wants an Ethernet jack in their crotch. But the plug could be kind of cool, right? You just have a little plug to hook up to because you don't want to risk doing it wirelessly. Or maybe like some kind of contact things, like the old school secure media cards used to do, where they were a flat card and they had all these contacts spread out on them. So, I mean, you could come up with better ways to do this.
If more technicians were female, oh, God.
Well, I was thinking that'd be inconvenient for anybody just due to the natural functions that happen down there. I mean, you don't want to get any corrosion in there. So, but, I don't know, dude. I'm sure you could come up with a decent place to put the Ethernet jack on somebody's body where it's not going to be an inconvenience, and put a little rubber cap on it when you're not using it so it doesn't get wet, like in the shower. I mean, that'd have some badass points, right? You lift up your arm, the doctor jacks in to update your pacemaker as opposed to the wireless. I get that the wireless is a lot more convenient, but if you can't secure it...
Not just a bit more convenient. We think of our bodies as stationary, but we're made out of liquid. Having the Ethernet cord adds its own little problems of it yanking on your heart.
Well, I was thinking you wouldn't be hooked up all the time. Just when they need to do updates and download the logs and shit.
I was just going with the cord from your heart to your skin. That's going to be hooked up all the time.
Yeah, that absolutely.
And that's going to get yanked and pulled around.
Hey, we have a Sard. Sard, what are you drinking?
I'm about to go get a beer.
Well, real quick, before we move on to the next story, did you see the thing about pacemakers?
Yes, needing a firmware update.
Yeah, what do you think?
Sounds good to me. I mean, they've always talked about being hackable and stuff, though. I assume it's like some sort of NFC thing where...
It's RF,
where you have to be like right up fucking next to it, but it's still pretty cool that they're, they have the ability to do that.
Yeah, well, at least they're acknowledging it. I mean, you don't need surgery for a firmware update.
Yeah, exactly. Do we know what I saw they needed firmware, but I didn't know, like, what was the cause of it. Is it security upgrades?
It's security. It's apparently fairly easy to get into things and issue commands.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, better if it's for security. I didn't realize. I wasn't sure if it was that or if they found just like a, I don't know, software flaw, something else.
They said it's very unlikely for a firmware update failure where it stops working.
Yeah.
Which means it's happened at least once.
Right. I guess it's always a possibility.
So, all right, go get your beer. I'll start reading the next story. So, anyways.
They wanted the pacemaker to have a touch interface. Yes. Makes it easier when you interface it with your iPhone.
The touch interface. Oh, there's a bad joke in there, but I'm going to leave it alone. Next article is from The Diplomat. China's new wave of internet censorship, name verification for online commenting. So, China is basically requiring, if you want to post on any of the Chinese social medias, they have to know your real name. China's internet censorship is getting tougher and more comprehensive every day. On August the 25th, China's top internet regulator announced new rules to manage internet forums and communities, forbidding unidentified netizens. Do people still use that word? For fuck's sake.
Not anyone that I know.
Yeah, unidentified netizens from posting anything on internet platforms. The new rules will become effective on October 1. As The Diplomat has been following since the Chinese President Xi Jinping took office, China has been systematically increasing online control, and in 2017 has witnessed the most fierce waves of internet censorship yet, banning VPNs and independent media contents, demanding international publishing houses such as Cambridge University Press remove specific content, punishing China's top three internet giants for failing to manage their online platform properly, just to name a few. Let's see. The Cyberspace Administration of China, the top internet censor, just gave Chinese netizens further bad news. On August 25th, the administration issued management regulations on internet forum and community in order to promote healthy and orderly development of online community and safeguard national security and public interests. God, there's the phrase you always love to hear from the government: national safety and public interest. New regulations will cover all online forums, communities, and any other platforms that provide interactive communication. According to regulators, all internet companies and service providers are required to strictly manage all the content their registered users are going to post and verify the identities of all users before they can post anything on their platforms. As for those users who refuse to provide their real names, the internet company should not allow them to post anything at all. The official of the the Cyberspace Administration also specified the content that is banned from publishing or disseminating online. The contents that, one, oppose the basic principles of the Constitution, two, harming the national security, revealing state secrets, subverting state power, and undermining national reunification, three, damaging national honor and interests.
Oh, independent Hong Kong and Tibet? That can't be posted.
Cannot be posted.
National unity.
Inciting national hatred, ethnic discrimination, and undermining national unity. Undermining the state's policies on religion or promoting cults and feudal superstitions. Six, spreading rumors or disrupting social order. Spreading rumors. Have you looked at any comments section? Spreading obscenity, pornography, violence, terror, or abetting the crime. Insulting or slandering others and infringing. It is illegal to insult or slander others in China on the internet. Holy.
More specifically, the government.
Yeah.
Slander, I can understand. That's actually legally defined as lying to somebody in such a way that it causes financial harm.
But just
now,
says
proving
insulting.
It's kind of difficult, and it should be handled in court, not by some dude who's moderating a forum.
And nine, violating any other laws and regulations. Obviously, forbidden items are so broad and vague that any criticism could be found in the categories. Yeah, you don't like the law, that's a criticism, it's illegal.
Yep. You've just criticized the government whenever you criticize a law, dude.
In addition, the regulations also require all internet companies to fully record their users' information and promptly report their illegal behavior to the regulator.
Paddle on your neighbors.
How much storage is that going to require?
Buy hard drive stock.
How are they vetting these people? Like, you just have to put your name in, like, the equivalent of a social security number or something?
It says they have to do it. It doesn't say how.
Yeah, of course, because they can't. There's no way they're going to be able to enforce that.
Well, the way you're going to enforce it for most websites is fairly simple. They're just not going to allow comments.
Yeah.
And I guess that makes sense. The other way is register with your name, a government ID, and then a debit card or credit card that they're going to do a one penny transaction on, verify who you are.
That just means credit card fraud and identity theft is going to get even more rampant there, I bet.
Yep.
Because why the fuck would I use my real name?
Well, I mean, you know, anybody with a real name as embarrassing as yours would never want to use their real name.
Right? I mean, come on.
So, anyway, this is messed up. It's just flat out, you can't say anything. I mean, I realize it's China, and that's kind of been their MO for a while, but it's just literally, you can't say anything.
It's not just, well, it's starting in China, but Canada's trying to crack down on internet so-called hate speech and anonymity. So just a little north, spread south, happens.
Pretty scary. Crazy what would happen if we didn't have net neutrality and all that jazz.
It's not really even a net neutrality thing. That's just a free speech.
Well,
thing.
I mean, it's the slippery slope. The beginning of the end is kind of.
Next one along the same lines is from the Telegram. A former St. John's East End Jungle Gyms employee, Jungle Gyms, who amassed support on Facebook last week with a live video of her protest outside the restaurant, has been banned from social media by a provincial court judge. Glenda Den, well, that matches the photo of her, 26, was released from custody Wednesday for the second time in just over a week, this time with extra conditions. She's not allowed to access any form of social media, specifically Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat or Instagram. You open any social media site and you'll be back here paying us another visit, Judge Jim Walsh told Den and her young, during her appearance in a St. John's courtroom Wednesday morning. Den nodded her understanding. Den was arrested Monday afternoon and charged with criminal harassment of Kathy Brake, owner of Jungle Gyms on Turnberry Road in St. John's, and Den's former boss. She reportedly worked at the restaurant for 6 years and was manager for a period of time. She maintains that she and other employees were treated poorly and that she has owned $4,000. Back pay. If they're not paying her, that's kind of shitty. Den was also charged with two counts of breaking court orders, one count of failing to be of good behavior in connection with the alleged harassment, and a count of failing to notify police of change of address. Then told court on Wednesday she hadn't changed addresses and wasn't aware that she'd been ordered to live with her mother. What? And what? She had not changed addresses and was not aware that she had been ordered to live with her mother.
They had her mother's address on file.
Yeah.
And she never updated her driver's license.
Walsh acknowledged there could have been a communication error in that regard. Oh, fuck. Kangaroo court much? Police were called to the plaza by Brake, who reported Dan and others were disturbing the business, but officers deemed it was a peaceful protest and left. They were called back there a short time later, and Dan was charged with mischief to property, causing a disturbance, theft, and common assault after she allegedly grabbed a woman by the arm. It's theft to grab somebody by the arm? I figured that'd just be assault.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you stole her arm. Do I get to keep it? Den, who deactivated her Facebook account before her most recent arrest, will be back in court on all seven charges October the 2nd. Among the other conditions of Den's release are orders that she have no contact with Brake and two other women, as well as their families, and that she stay away from all Jungle Gyms locations. She's also ordered to stay at least 500 meters away from Croker Meadows Plaza. So, I mean, I Can courts actually order you not to use soap? I guess they can.
I was just going to say, I guess that's what we've come to now. I mean, that's going to be the newest fucking thing. Act like an idiot online, they'll just ban you from it.
Well, I mean, they actually have a judge saying you're not allowed to use Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean...
Silly.
I don't know that they're allowed to do that. Isn't that impinging their rights? It's not. I mean, okay, she's being charged, but I'm having a hard time with this. I kind of feel like that's no. You're not allowed to talk about this.
I could see it while the trial is going on, or until after punishment, because gag orders exist.
Okay.
So you can't discuss the crime, but normally it's more specific. Like you can't talk about these things, rather than you can't talk.
So I don't know. I just think it's weird. Now, I mean, okay, obviously she's harassing this business and thinks she's owed something by them, and maybe she is, maybe she isn't. Who knows? You know, the business might have every right to be calling the cops about somebody harassing them, but I just think it's weird, the whole you can't use Facebook thing.
Well, she's obviously stalking them or something on their company proof Facebook. Yeah, there's
got to be something else going on for them to say.
Yeah,
that.
Is it normal to have a company put out a restraining order on a person? I don't know if I ever remember hearing a company having a restraining order.
The restraining order is probably about an individual that could be working at any of those locations. And a company can ban you from its premises. So if you get banned at one Whole Foods, that can just say you can't go to any Whole Foods.
Right. But isn't that just normally trespassing?
Yes, and the, at that point, yeah. The 500 meters, that's one location. It does say the Coker Mills Plaza. So the employee that she's specifically probably harassing works in that plaza.
Okay.
And then they're just saying she can't go to any of their locations, so she's banned from their location. And then there's a restraining order that specifically affects that one location.
Well, continuing the news stories of the government's just, you know, shutting down shit they don't like, whether or not it's legal is questionable. Following a tip from Dutch anti-piracy group Breen, this is from Torrent Freak, local police have confiscated 245 quote-unquote pirate media players. The vendor had previously promised to stop selling devices, but while the boxes disappeared from an online store, they were available offline, which means he was selling them out of his car or something. More and more people are starting to use fully loaded set-top boxes to stream video content directly to their TVs. Though the media players themselves can be used for perfectly legal means, third-party add-ons turn them into pirating machines. Providing access to movies, TV shows, and IPTV channels. Over the past several years, there's been little enforcement effort on this front. However, this changed earlier this year when the European Court of Justice ruled that selling devices pre-configured to obtain copyright infringing content is illegal. So,
pre-configured to go to this website, what this website does is illegal. My box is not. My box is a computer.
They're literally arresting devices that are quote unquote pre-configured for copyright infringement. I'm just thinking, how do you sell any computer at that point? Because like I could go to
any web browser and download it.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. You know, YouTube for God's sake. I mean,
yeah.
So. The hardware can still be sold, and the media player software such as Kodi is legal too. But vendors who ship boxes with pirate add-ons could get a letter of visit from rights holders. Dutch anti-piracy outfit Breen is particularly active on this front and has convinced hundreds of sellers to clean up the shop. So and Psychros is even talking about it. It's Kodi with a bunch of plugins that are marketed at how well they scrape pirate screen. So they're saying, oh yeah, you can get free TV with this box. So they're specifically selling it as though it's a piracy device, but yeah. Still, man, it's a pre-configured Kodi box with an add-on. Come on, it's like, oh yeah, here, let me go look, pre-sell a laptop, and I bookmarked. It's the equivalent of selling a laptop with the Pirate Bay bookmarked and Deluge pre-installed. Come on. The hardware can be sold. Oh, wait, one of the vendors located in The Hague recently promised that it would stop offering these boxes. However, Bream discovered that while the pirate media players disappeared from the online store, they were still sold in the brick and mortar store. The anti-pirates. Okay, so he actually had a store. I like Psychros's comment here. It's trivial for you or me to install this stuff, but they are flowing into the homes of people who watch sports. My God, they watch sports.
That's going too far.
Where was it? Yeah, they were still selling them in the brick and mortar stores. So the anti-piracy group obviously wasn't happy with this, reported the shop owner to the local police, who went in and confiscated 245 pirate media players a few days ago. We summoned this merchant to stop, but despite his promise to do so, he continued, and we therefore reported it to the police. These players caused great damage because people no longer pay for the movies and series they watch, Bream director Tim Cook says. It is now up to authorities to determine if any further action is needed. Bream expects the prosecutor's office will try to settle the case with a fine, but if the vendors refuse to pay it, it also leads to prosecution. At the same time, Bream also has the option to file a civil case. Although Breen's actions don't usually result in criminal prosecutions, the anti-piracy group continues to pressure people who are involved in selling and developing these platforms. Ultimately, they hope that this will deter others from getting involved. Earlier this year, Motion Picture Association described pirate media players as a major threat, dubbing them Piracy 3.0. I'd hit the button again, but I've already played it twice for this. While this threat is far from over, it has definitely become riskier for people to get involved with developing and selling these boxes. So, I just... You know, again, it's Kodi. It's like, you know, go buy a Raspberry Pi, go download an image, you know, deploy it on the image. It's like they have how-tos on how to do this online. I'm fairly certain I could walk a 12-year-old through it. Maybe even a 5-year-old, but, you know, they get distracted fairly easily. So, you know, Raspi, install the SD card, go install the plugin, boom, go watch SpongeBob or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I just... Not what your average London hooligan is gonna do, man. I suppose it's sort of like selling the satellite cards that were meant to get you free access to satellite channels all the time, but it's just
yeah. They make it too easy and commercialize it, then they really get their panties in a one. If it takes some level of technical skill, I mean, they still view it as bad, just not as bad.
Anytime they're coming in and confiscating what I would consider a fairly generalized computing device, come on.
Yeah.
You marketed this for piracy. No, I marketed this for watching shit. It happens to do piracy really well. But, I mean... You can also
watch Hulu and Netflix.
Yeah, it's cutting into their cable bill, so my God, how dare you, you know, not pay us. Which, admittedly, yeah, piracy's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But I honestly think it's more on the principle of the thing than it is the money. I mean, 245, really? Is that enough money for them to go through all this rigmarole? 245 of the damn things? So
that's how many he had on stock. How many of them has he sold?
Yeah, maybe a couple thousand. But, I mean, even then, I mean, it's a preloaded Kodi box. They're a dime a dozen online. So, it's not... Yeah. Okay, you shut down one retailer. Actually, all you're really going to do is shut down the retailers who live in the areas that Bream can harass them. It's like, yep. Cool, I'll go order them from China. China don't give a shit. So...
And then it'll come preloaded with its nice little botnet.
That's true. That's very true. Which is why you're still better off figuring out how to build your own, so... You know, maybe I'd make a video on how to do it, but then I'm pretty sure YouTube would demonetize it fairly quickly, so it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, but are you getting paid for it now?
No. Well, not on G15. G15's never been about getting paid, but if I ever started trying to do YouTube channels or stuff, yeah, I'd try to make some money off of it. I'd still do G15 stuff, don't misunderstand. G15's always been just about open and doing whatever, because it's fun. Not because... But yeah, YouTube's a little bit more work, so it's like, if I gotta make video, fuck. But well, that because you can. I can't exactly monetize G15 in any meaningful way. Otherwise I might think about it. But between all the open source music and how long we've been running and trying to, you know, clear up everything you'd have to do, we'd basically be rebuilding it from scratch and keeping, I think, the name, maybe. And it's like, eh, it's just not even worth the trouble at this point. So, it's show man for not defying. Oh, not this is the not decrypting drives thing. All right, next one up is from Ars Technica. The feds are pissed off that a guy that has been held in contempt of court for 2 years is asking to get out. Federal prosecutors wrote a U.S. judge Wednesday saying that a child porn suspect jailed for nearly 2 years for refusing to decrypt his hard drives should remain jailed until he complies with a court order to unlock them. The defendant has a lot of chutzpah to even ask to get out of jail while he appeals the contempt of court order in the U.S. Supreme Court, the prosecutor said in a new court filing. Apparently, they used that word literally. The dispute concerns a now-fired Philadelphia cop who has been jailed since September 30, 2015 for refusing to decrypt two hard drives that authorities found at his residence as part of a federal child porn investigation. Lawyers for Francis Rawless want him released pending an appeal to the Supreme Court, which has never decided on whether forcing somebody to decrypt hard drive or hardware amounts to a Fifth Amendment violation. He does not offer to comply with the original order, nor does he assert that it is impossible for him to do so. Nevertheless, he asked the court to allow him to go free. The court should deny the motions, federal prosecutor Michael Levy wrote, the federal judge who will preside over the hearing dispute Thursday. In a footnote, after the word free in the above quotation, the government's legal brief, Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Levy writes, the Yiddish word chutzpah, which he actually defined chutzpah. They give the court definition of chutzpah. Levy goes on to dispute awesome. Defense attorney Keith Donahue's assertion that the 18 months of maximum amount Rawls could be confined. He said there is no temporal limitation on the amount of time somebody can be confined for civil contempt. I believe that's true because, Madman, you were telling me about that at one point in the past.
I believe the same case. We've talked about it before.
We probably did. I think we've talked about this case multiple times because it just keeps coming. Every court to hear Rawlins' challenge has set aside his contention that forcing him to decrypt the hard drives amounts to compelled self-incrimination in violation of the Fifth Amendment. A hearing on the matter is set for Thursday in Pennsylvania federal court, and that's it. So they're still holding this guy for refusing to decrypt his hard drives.
How can there be no statute of limitation? Some limitation how long they can hold
on contempt of court. I'm not aware of one.
Excessive.
It's pretty much you're held in contempt until you cease tempting the court.
Well, the problem is they're holding him in contempt of court for something that he believes to be a violation of the Fifth Amendment. They're trying to force him to decrypt hard drives, and he's claiming that he doesn't have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back with I believe I've made this argument. I believe his. The correct argument to make to get out of this is just saying he can't because they're not his. The decrypting them is admitting ownership. Just says they're not mine, I can't decrypt them. Well, which is going to have the trouble because they were found in his house.
Well, if they proved ownership some other way, such as they were found in his house, or you know they had receipts for them or some other thing, that's a hard argument to make. So, although if they've had the drives for 2 years, I mean, seriously, has nobody thought to throw a CUDA cracking system at the thing at this point, or
at least give it a shot?
No, they're not going to, because I think at this point they're trying to make a legal point of no, we can force you to decrypt.
They're doing a legal point, and honestly, I don't think they want to waste the resources. They believe they have a pedophile in jail, and they haven't even had to take him to trial. Because he's not complying with evidentiary process. So they haven't even needed to seat a jury. Right now, everyone that's getting paid for this is getting paid for other things they're doing, and they're getting a supposed pedophile off the streets for next to free.
Yeah, but isn't that... what about due process and all that? Because
they do have a due process.
Found him guilty of it yet.
They've brought up charges. They've served a warrant. He's not complying with said warrant, and the reason he's in jail is he's not complying with said warrant. Once he complies, he's no longer in contempt of court, but I believe once he complies, they also have all the evidence they need to convict him of child molestation. or whatever it is he's being charged
with. Well, I mean, you know, there's making a point and then losing 2 years of your life. I'm pretty sure at this point it's he doesn't want to decrypt it because there probably is child porn on there. If there wasn't or something else equally as bad, at this point, after 2 years, anybody probably would have been like, okay, you know what? I've made my point, but I want to get out of jail.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, yeah, standing on your principles is certainly admirable, but unless you actually have something on there that you know is going to get you, killed, convicted, whatever, yeah, at some point you break and you give up the password. So the reason I keep watching this is because I was kind of hoping, like in England, they've already stated that yes, they can legally compel you to give up passwords to accounts and hard drives and hardware and stuff like that. If they've proven that it's yours, they can legally compel you to do that. I'm waiting to see what it is here, because on one hand, I really don't like the idea that you can be compelled to give up a password.
Yeah, that's what the part that I don't like.
Because, well, one, it's something you know, or... But you also are going to get into weirder situations. So some of the concepts I've been playing with lately has been you don't know the password. Like if you, like anybody who's used LastPass, the way they market LastPass, you don't know the password for what they're asking you. You know your LastPass password, and LastPass knows the password they're asking you for. But if somebody comes up and says you need to give me your email password, I don't know it. I can't give it to you. How do you log in? I use my manager service, but I don't know the password. Or even just something like an OSX keychain where you remember the password to your keychain, and then your email password is some gnarly, ungodly thing that you're never going to remember.
Right.
You know, it's like, what'd you do? I MD5'd, a word 5,000 times with a random string on. I wrote a Python script to generate my passwords. I give it a word, it MD5's it. I'm never going to figure out how it generated it, so I can't reproduce it. If you set up a situation where you legitimately cannot reproduce this information, it's all stored in a system somewhere because you've got automation running or Dockers or the idea I was actually playing with was a Raspberry Pi Zero that would generate your codes for you, but you all you would have to do is have the Pi Zero like a car key or something. So when you get the request for your email password, you legitimately cannot provide it because. And of course, you're playing legal games at that point. But it's like, I don't know my email password. I use a key.
At that point, they're asking for your key, and that's already been set. They can ask for key.
They can ask for the key, but if they don't know to ask for that, if they keep asking you for your email password, you're playing games at that point. Don't misunderstand. I know that's stupid and childish, but I also enjoy playing with the idea of networks that evolve and change over time because, that's how the natural world defeats. It defends itself against viruses and bacteria and shit like that. It's constantly changing, so you have genetic variation. So I've been playing with the idea of networks that change themselves as they run so that they're less vulnerable to attack. But all I managed to do was lock myself out of my own VMs doing that with the last time. So, there's that. It's like, what's the password? I have no idea. The Python scripts got out of sync and I can't get into it anymore.
Son of a bitch.
Damn it!
Yeah.
So we call that experiment a fail. Luckily, there were VMs, so it was as easy as just deleting them and starting over, right?
Right. I like the idea of self-destruction. Yeah, you're in that password in 3 times wrong, self-destructs. You're never getting your password back. Ever, ever, ever.
When they're raiding the house, you just pop the little key that holds everything in the microwave. It's like, what's your password? I have no idea. It's gone. So... Of course, we're assuming like the noble hacker or bad guy or something, and not just an actual pedophile or criminal or somebody who deserves a shovel to the head.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Because on the other hand, if this guy is a kiddie diddler, he kind of deserves to beaten within an inch of his life and dragged off of a cliff.
Kind of have to assume on the laws of an innocent guy because the innocent guys are going to be drugging through this.
That's right. That's why I have a problem with it, because, you're arrested. The cop says, this is your hard drive. Give me the password. I can't. I have no idea what you're on about. It's like, contempt of court. Throw his ass in jail forever. I mean, is that a hyper-exaggerated situation? Sure, but if it could actually happen, that's not a good thing. And it's not like you don't already see TV shows about, you know, the cops sprinkle some meth on them because they're corrupt or whatever. So, I mean, you know. Not that most cops do that. In fact, I think very few cops would ever actually do that. But there have been a few that have gotten caught in doing that shit. So. What's the founder say? It's better than that a guilty man go free than an innocent man go to jail. I'm trying to remember the exact quote. Madman, you're good at quotes.
It's better 100 guilty men go free than a single innocent man be chained.
There you
go. I believe
go.
Is it. But, yeah, it does come down to, is it something you know? I like somewhat looking at it that way. And if it is, then you can't really be compelled.
But, and that's why I keep watching this case, is because I want to see if they can compel this guy to give up the passwords to his hard drives or not. Because ultimately, if you can, one, that might be a legal slippery slope that could end badly. Or two, it might mean that anybody handling data services has got to be able to decrypt anything at any time, which could be a dangerous precedent as well. So, I mean, and even for legitimate transactions, like, If I have to start storing the decryption keys to financial records, you know, those could be hacked. And then the financial records could be hacked more easily because I had to store the keys in case the feds wanted them. So
on that, I think you could try to make the argument of, I don't have the key because it's Bob's checking account. Contact Bob. We just hold his money. Do you want Bob's money?
So...
can give you that.
So, continuing with the final thing I have for tonight, and, you know, Psychros is already wigging out about it. Jolt Cola is coming back with the original cans. So, I'm...
Nice.
I'm excited for this, because I haven't seen Jolt in a while.
Yeah.
It's been at least 5 years since the last time I saw a can of Jolt. Because you used to be able to get it in some gas stations because they had changed the can around. And
yeah. I liked Surge. Drink
yeah.
A lot of Surge.
I remember a lot of people Surge.
Back in the day.
I always went for Balls at the LAN parties.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that one ever went away, but they're expensive as hell to order because you go buy them a case.
Right. Yeah, they were always kind of expensive.
So before Red Bull Monster and Rockstar, there was Jolt Cola. A drink of the generation of nerds, especially computer nerds, who needed brain fuel for late-night coding and hacking. Came out in 1985 with twice the caffeine of regular cola and was popular through the 90s. Fell by the wayside with broader energy drinks like Red Bull popping up, though. Jolt Cola is coming back. Not as Jolt Energy in those weird battery bottles, which is the last thing I remember having, but as genuine Jolt Cola in the original can. Or at least very similar, because apparently they have to put nutritional information on it, and they didn't do that in the original cans. It's not coming back as pricey boutique soda or impossible to find promotion. It's apparently they're just going to they're going to sell it at Dollar General. It's coming back Dollar General September 21st, available and at 10,000 Dollar General's 14,000 stores across the country. A pricing hasn't been announced. Well, it's Dollar General, so what do you think it's going to be? they will have sugar and not corn syrup. Fuck it, I'm buying cases.
Nice. They also have Crystal Pepsi at Dollar General, dude.
Really?
They have fucking Crystal Pepsi. It still sucks.
What's with all this 90s nostalgia lately?
It's because you're getting old. I'm not. I'm going to be immortal and young forever, but everyone else is getting
old. It's old-fashioned double caffeine cola. Energy drinks taste absolutely terrible, like a whole lot of fruity nothing. Strong cola would be nice. Eased off energy drinks. This is the author talking about how he doesn't even drink energy drinks anymore and how he's excited for it to come back. Classic cans, best drink design. He's had... Oh, he's showing some of the... Okay, yeah. So, anyway, so the author's on about how awesome this would be. But, yeah, I'm going to buy I'm going to buy some Jolt Cola.
Comes probably. In 2 liters.
Yep. I'm sure I'm going to buy it. Because, fuck it. I'm going to buy a case of the stuff and keep it on my desk at work and just go for it. Like, yeah, I'm angling for a management position, but I can't help it. Shirt, tie, Jolt Cola. Why fucking not? So, and I'm already a paid hacker, right? So,
there you go.
I'm like, I already live like 10-year-old me's, you know, dreams, at least for like professionally. Mad scientist at home, paid hacker at work. I mean, come on. That's like, but, yeah. Jolt Cola and ramen noodles. Yes, like Christ. Is this college? Oh fuck! Let's move on to this. Couple of things for Digital Dojo tonight. First one is a nice little script off GitHub called the Domain Analyzer. It is a security analysis tool which automatically discovers and reports information about a given domain. Its main purpose is to analyze domains in an unattended way, so it's, you know, meant to be scheduled. Domain Analyzer takes a domain name, finds information about it, such as DNS servers, mail servers, IP addresses, mails on Google, SPF information, etc. All the information is stored and organized, and it scans the ports of every IP found using Nmap and performs several other security checks. After ports are found, it uses a tool, crawler.py, from Verovolos to spider the complete web page of all web ports found. The tool has options to download files and find open folders. Creates a PDF file with results, prints out the country of every IP address, reverse DNS in comparison to the host name, searches SPS records, uses Nmap on every active host, checks 192 of the most common host names in DNS servers, searches for domain emails. I mean, it's basically an automated domain information miner. And
that is pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah, so if you've got a domain that you're supposed to be monitoring, running this on a regular basis is probably a fantastic idea because it shows you everything that's publicly exposed. If you have a domain that you're wanting to attack, then guess what? This will work just as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I at one point during this show, I used to always kind of be cagey about the attacks, but you know what? Everybody knows what these security tools are really for. So, fuck it. You know, if you've got somebody who's pissed you off when you want to find their internal domain emails or servers that are exposed that are misconfigured or bullshit, this is perfect for it. So I don't encourage such behavior, but I do encourage you to film it and post it on YouTube so we can laugh at it, especially if you found something awesome. So yeah. And then finally, for Digital Dojo, the last thing I have is an alternative kernel for Raspberry Pis. And you might be thinking, what the fuck, right? It's actually was originally developed for the Kali Linux Raspberry Pi image, but it works also on Raspbian. And it's kernel 4.9 for the Raspi. And it's got a bunch of built-in stuff for touch screens and some Wi-Fi injection stuff and some other onboard firmware and some other non-free stuff. The big thing about this kernel is they claim twice the CPU performance on a Raspberry Pi 3 over the stock kernel and at least 40% CPU performance over the stock kernel on the Pi 2, the 0, and the 0W.
Dang, that's pretty sweet. Just like super optimized.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what the hell is going on in the stock kernel? I mean, yeah. Because this thing includes non-free drivers, they're probably taking a little bit better advantage of some of the hardware in the Raspberry Pi chip. Because that's been a long-running pain point, is that the Broadcom chip they use has some non-free stuff, and if they only use the open-source drivers, it doesn't run quite so well. So I'm wondering if this includes some of that, because they've got non-free Wi-Fi drivers and stuff in there. Oh, and the Bluetooth BlueZ package is in there as well. He's got plenty of instructions for dropping it in Raspbian, Kali, and pretty much if you can't... And, you know, he's got the source code out on GitHub, so if you need to compile it on something he doesn't already support, probably shouldn't be that difficult to rebuild it. He's also actually got a full Raspberry Pi image. I think he calls it Sticky Fingers. That's intended for a Raspberry Pi with one of the... he's got a list of touchscreens he supports out of the box with it. So he's got some stuff like there. But it also supports being an Ethernet gadget. So if you want to do the whole fake Ethernet port over the USB port on a Raspberry Zero, has that built in right out of the gate, right in the kernel. So I haven't had a chance to play with it very much, but And I'll be honest, I couldn't really tell the performance difference, but I wasn't exactly benchmarking it. I pretty much loaded it on a Raspberry and then realized I had shit to do at work and didn't get to play with it very much. But, yeah, well, I mean, my DNS server's still working. I'm running Pi-hole, so, you know, it's not like the thing's on fire or anything. So
That's cool.
So, I mean, the fact that you're getting double performance out of a kernel upgrade, I mean, normally you'd think kernel optimization might get you, what, 10-15% max?
Right.
40-50%. Fuck.
Yeah, that's significant.
It's worth looking into. That is worth looking into. So, especially if you do a lot of stuff with Raspis, right? So, it's like, oh, and it runs better. So, keep going back to that idea of building pocket terminals and stuff and putting glow wire on it, because we've got to put glow wire on it. So, I will, you know, 3D print the cases everybody drink, and I'm going to have to get a case of Jolt Cola for this YouTube channel. It's just the only way to do it, right? YouTube channel building random trash into cyberpunk stuff, and
hell yeah.
I don't know what, selling it on eBay or something?
That'd work.
It's like, you know, take the random shit I find in the closet. It's like, oh, look, here's an ancient laptop. I'm just going to hot glue glow wire on it, call it a cyber deck, and call it done, right?
That's what everyone else does on eBay. Why the fuck not?
It's customized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get a laser print. Go get a cheap laser print or a cheap color inkjet from Walmart and print out one of those full-page labels so it's got a decal on it.
You have to have a hacker sticker on the front of it, too. Or a hacking permit. Yeah.
What is this? This is like a Dell Mini 9. What the fuck? I'm pretty sure the Raspberry outperforms a Dell Mini 9 at this point, but hey, you know. Oh, it's been a crazy week. If your email vendor ever tells you that you have to just flat block Excel files, it's time for a new email vendor. Just saying. Yeah, I'll tell you about that offline. That's all I've really got. Can't call it future news. Madman, closing thoughts.
Harvey is going to eat two more states, and I'm going to be dealing with it for months.
Well, it's been raining pretty good here, so who knows? Although I think it's stopped at the moment. Sard, closing thoughts.
While you were talking about that GitHub script domain analyzer, it reminded me of another tool that I've used on my domain at work. It's called Pingcastle. It's kind of similar. It scans your domain and looks for best practices and inactive accounts and a whole ton of different stuff that we use, and actually pointed out a lot of good things that we didn't need, and we're active, and we were able to clean up our domain some. So.
Oh, this is the other one was just a domain name scanner. This is actually an Active Directory scanner.
Yeah.
Fancy. Oh, well, yeah, we're adding this to the show notes.
It works super, super well. I like it. We've been kind of running it every couple months or so, just kind of keep an eye on things.
Well, look, that's not just going on the show notes. I'm going to send that to some of my team at work.
Yeah, it's worth it, I think.
So. Oh, yeah, for those of you keeping track and trying to figure out where I work, I have a team now.
Yeah.
So, no, seriously, I mean, like, people report to me, kind of. Not, like, officially because they couldn't promote me because of reasons I don't really understand political bullshit, but functionally, I'm team leader, so.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I have minions.
Oh boy.
Works for S.H.I.E.L.D. Close. Anyway, works for S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually, would that be good or not? They like keep getting shut down or not shut down. I don't know. I don't really follow the TV show like I should.
You're going to have to get used to fighting with the government a lot.
But that's, or maybe you already are. Me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, the FBI wants shit again. Go away. I'm not joking. I've actually had the FBI say, can we get copies of all your images? And be like, no. Fuck. Anyway. I'll have to look at this pink castle. This looks cool. It's free, too. Fuck.
Yep. Totally free. It's sweet, man.
Yeah. I'm not aware of this. Oh, Lord. What image is that? Do I want to know what image that is? They've got all kinds of crap in that URL.
Yeah.
Anytime I see something like scale FL progressive, like this is going to be like a dick pic, something I don't want to see. Oh, God, it's that.
Cycrus is calling you Cyberman. I was thinking you were a cyberpunk.
That guy's got better hair than I do. I'll give you that.
Oh, okay.
The Sony mini disc in a fucking hip holster. That's what you... And the Logitech handheld scanner.
Well, and don't forget the taser.
What taser? I don't see a taser on there.
On the right hand side, stun gun.
Oh, stun gun, self defense. Last three issues of 2600, Mondo 2000, a user's guide, and Mondo number one. With an Apple PowerBook, a Sony multimedia CD player, and the Sony Video 8 Walkman, and one of those brick cell phones.
Oh, and a voice changer. Pretty sweet.
Private Eye, essential for staying online 24/7. I wonder how hard it would be to get one of those today. It'd be kind of worth having. Those little heads-up displays.
Yeah,
they paid some poor model to stand there where they strapped all this crap onto them and put them next to these computers.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. They didn't pay him. Cycros knows they didn't pay him. He's just some dude with hair. Cycros was there, man. He was watching when they were taking the picture. That's all I got. Yeah, we did the closing segment, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site with the IRC right on the front page now, because I believe Madman asked me to do that. And the subreddit is probably the still best way to get a hold of me. Cycros, I did get several of your links about Mondo 2000. And I'll be frank, I haven't read Mondo 2000 in a very long time, and I don't know that I want to. I don't know, 2600 kind of went meh. So, last couple of times I've picked up 2600, I've been a little unimpressed. So, I mean, sometimes they have something good in there, but a lot of times it's all just kind of, I don't know.
I don't know. I still subscribe. It's got gems in it still, I'd say.
Yeah, every once in a while you see something good come across.
Getting very, very political. Like, more so than they have in the past, in my
opinion. Yeah.
But that's a different topic.
Well, you got to be careful with politics now, too, because the moment you define yourself as the other to either side, everything you say is now suspect, so...
Yeah.
So... Anyways, I probably should wrap up the show now, because I'm out of whiskey, which seems like as good a reason as any. Mm-hmm. Out of whiskey, send help! Yeah, that's all I've got. Where's the sound? Where's the button? Here's the button.
Thank you, Thymaster.